This episode of Stars and Characters is sponsored by Jets Toy Hut at ToyHut.com. Jets Toy Hut is committed to being the place for all things Star Wars today and for years to come. Jets Toy Hut offers Star Wars collectibles for every collector, from the seasoned veteran collectors to anyone just starting their collection today. And every purchase from Jets Toy Hut is backed by their no-questions-asked return policy. Shop with confidence and browse their huge selection of Star Wars collectibles today at ToyHut.com. That's HUTT.com. And follow them on Facebook at Facebook.com/JetsToyHut.
You paid the price for your lack of vision.
I didn't hit a soundboard clip.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about 2-1-B. 2-1-B appears in Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. The one that we're talking about?
Episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
That's what
really?
We'll repeat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm looking forward to finding out what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, 2-1-B, we all agree, is in the medicine doctor kind of line, right?
Medicine.
Yeah.
Medicine. Okay.
Yes, we can all agree to that once it's clearly defined what you're talking about.
So these names are in the medical field.
Oh.
Okay.
Uh huh.
These are Matt. These
Dr.
are
Dr. Dave, Dr. Chris, Dr. Matt.
You just ruined one of my names. But Dave's laughing.
Dr. Davison.
My name is Cardiologist Chris.
Yeah.
Today I'm joined by Medical Droid Matt.
Okay.
To my right, Dr. Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Dr. Davison. Dr. Davison.
Oh, you could have done that.
You're so stupid.
You're so stupid.
Director of Medical Research and Technology and Advancements for Humankind, Dave.
This one's good, though. This one, I said, I'm writing this down. I had Tim as a planet, but I said, no, I'm going to use this. I am joined by Pediatrist Tim.
Pediatrist?
Is
that a pediatrician or a podiatrist? I can't even say it. You got it so fucked up.
It's a pediatrist, Tim.
Podiatrist?
No.
How about optimist?
Yeah.
Optimist.
Pediatrician. Pediatrician. I changed a shin to a Tim. Pediatrician for a doctor for kids.
Okay.
Couldn't you have said ophthalmologist?
Yeah.
That would have been a lot easier, yes.
Come on.
And we have a special guest who I'm going to call because David just wrote it down. Hypodermic Doug.
Grown.
OBGY Doug.
Now there you go. Now you're thinking.
There you go.
That's good. Well, we do have Doug joining us. And Doug, for our Facebook users, everybody knows Doug because he has kind of taken some of the stuff that Matt did early with the photoshopping, and Matt did his Wilro hood and his Malakalese, and they were really great, and Doug has kind of taken that and run with it on our Facebook page. So if you're not on our Facebook page, this is a perfect opportunity to get on there and find some of the original stuff that Doug has created, including, I think,
one of my favorites,
our favorite. Which, and most of the things are mentioned on a show at some point, or are inspired by a show or something like that. But the best one was, I can't even say his name.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Come on, you can say it.
Devin Foreskin.
Hell yeah.
Which was not only the photoshopping, but also an original custom action figure.
Yeah, go for it.
So, Doug, how do you do this anyway?
And follow up question: why do you do this?
I sure ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
No, I don't know these. Like I said before, no pun intended. These things get stuck in my head when I'm listening to the show, and so I immediately jump on my Mac and I start banging them out. Sorry, no pun intended.
Yes, two of them.
And no, pun intended. And yeah, that's it. And you guys give me some really good fodder for this kind of stuff and sort of my obsession with mashing these things together.
Oh, we appreciate it, and I know our Facebook followers do. So, like I said, if you're not on Facebook, you gotta get on there and see some of the stuff. And Doug also takes requests.
I'm waiting.
Yes, I know.
You're Daisy Duke. I'm afraid what I'm gonna say.
I tried to show you as much as I could before, so I guess you need the reverse shot. Is that what you're asking me?
Please.
That was so nice. That was so polite.
Oh.
So get on our Facebook page and check out some of these cool. Because we sit here and talk about things that some of them are 30 years old. I think it's cool that there's something original being put out into the universe there. And I know that I appreciate that Doug does that because I think that stuff's cool. It's kind of stuff that someone will search for something on Facebook and up will come like some weird ass shit. So
and they're really detailed. Like the one of all the bounty hunters in line for a job.
Yeah.
I think Tim actually the one who posted something about the poster on the back wall of Greedo.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I didn't even see it for the first time.
Was that actually Greedo on the wall?
No, you know what? It was that was one of those things that I saw it and I said, oh, this is a kind of a cool shot there. And I said, oh, there's Greedo. How, you know, I gotta go with that one. So all that was right. that was an accident that just happened to be in there like that.
It looked nice.
Well, they're very cool. Yeah. So
thanks.
Get on our Facebook page and check out not only those cool things, but all the other shenanigans that go on there. So, but for now, Chris, are you ready to get into this?
Yes. Give us some facts about Toowoomba.
I'm going to give you some generic, facts about the droid itself. When we get to the actual 2-1-B, Tim's going to take over. Right, Tim?
That's right.
Okay. So 2-1-B surgical droids. I mean, I always called them medical droids.
That's what I did.
They're listed here as surgical droids. Okay. They were manufactured by the Industrial Automaton Company. Now, we've had this before, right?
Yes.
Who did they
many times
before? Yeah, I mean, it's like happens a lot.
Of the things that we've talked about, they make the R2 unit, the R5 unit, 4 LOM they also make.
Okay.
And two that we haven't talked about yet, the Gonk droid and the ASP droid are two other famous droids that they make. They make a crap load of droids.
Okay. Well, I know that when we first started doing it, like that word automaton or automaton, however you want to say it.
Automaton.
Automaton.
Yes, thank you. That has been a bone of contention with my wife ever since listening to that episode. She was screaming at the radio as we were piping it through in the car.
Yeah, it's
automaton. Letting us know we were saying it wrong.
I like automaton.
And I told her, shut the fuck up, I'm driving. And we didn't talk the rest of the night.
There you go. Well, that I know that I heard about that in not that long ago in watching Hugo and reading the invention of Hugo Cabret. Like, this is like a real thing in the robot world, right? I mean, it's not just a Star Wars thing.
No, those are real things. I mean, if you go to the Hall of Presidents at Disney World, yeah, they call them automatons.
Okay. So, like, any of the Disney animatronics are, like, if you stripped them off, they would look like that thing in Hugo?
Creepy.
Well, anyway.
Why are you stripping presidents in Disney World? Let's analyze that sentence for a second.
Only in dressing them
JFK,
with my eyes.
He's attractive.
Yeah. Who hasn't done that?
Gerald Ford.
All right. Well, the thing that was probably the coolest thing about these droids is that they were almost like Swiss Army droids, like go-go gadget droids. You could detach and attach all kinds of different things to their arms. And they would really serve in operations. They could have hypodermic needles and cutting saws. I mean, these were like real operating droids. That's what they were mainly used for. Now, the only time you really see them in the movie, I guess the what they do to Luke's hand is technically an operation. But there isn't a whole lot of operating going on. But they are actual creations of physicians from something called the State Medical Academy of Renal.
That's right, yeah.
Like,
no
I was
such
like,
thing as that.
No, I mean, there's according to this, there's actual like a doctor school. Like, where are these guys? You never see these guys anywhere.
No. Sir, it will take quite a while to evacuate the T-47s.
That's the line I was looking for. I couldn't figure out where he was talking. No. Okay.
And all of these droids appear to have masculine programming.
Yes.
Which means Star Wars is sexist. Like,
well, so no one wants a woman operating on them. I mean, come on.
Tim. That's I can't believe you just said that, Tim.
Oh, sorry.
That is absolutely horrible.
Are you sure you don't want a woman operating on you?
Oh.
Are you sure?
Depends on the woman.
Exactly. And which and what the operation is.
So, but I mean, everybody knows these guys. There's a very long scene in Empire Strikes Back. I timed it out. They're in the movie, at least in Empire Strikes Back, for 53.3 seconds, which is a long time for people.
That is. Yep. In fact, I think it almost disqualifies them, so we should probably just end the episode now.
That's and now trivia.
But there are other medical droids. I don't know if we'll get into the FX7 series medical droid. They were often paired with one of these as like an assistant. And there's other medical droids also that I don't know the names of, like especially the ones that help deliver Luke and Leia that
Yeah. Yeah, see what happened? That's what happens when a woman droid operates on you. You freaking die.
Wow.
Tim, I can't believe you keep saying these things.
I'm sorry. It's Freudian.
That's but a hell of an impression of my voice though, too, by the way.
It is. You could get one of these for yourself, Chris, for the low sum of 4,300 credits.
I'd buy two.
What is that pesos? Because I got that in my wallet.
I was trying to figure this out, like ration this out. Like it cost $17,000 for Han to take Obi-Wan and Luke to Alderaan, and it cost $4,300 to get this robot. Like it doesn't seem to match up too well for me.
You get 2.5 2-1-Bs.
Seriously, yeah. And this thing to me is important. They're talking about a ride.
Yeah, that's bus fare.
It's like flying to Vegas.
You
know?
Yeah,
it always seems like it's more expensive than it should be.
Well, once you get past the general information, I do have a little bit on the actual droid that is seen mostly in Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. But I'm anxious to hear what Tim found about that guy in particular, because the thing that I read about him to me means there's some emotions. We talked about this a lot with these droids, like whether they have emotions, and some of them really seem to, and some of them just like boxes, you know, like this guy made a choice in his life to be where he is. And I'm kind of interested to hear how that happened. So Tim, take it away.
Well, now the 2-1-B that we see in the movie, his name is 2-1-B, but completely spelled out. All the other droids are just the numbers 2-1 and the letter B. So I think on the original action figure, I think it actually kind of like how it said C-3PO, where it spelled it out.
Yeah.
They may have even done that with the original action figures, where they spelled his full name out there. But he was purchased and put into work by the Galactic Empire shortly after the end of the Clone Wars. But he was programmed. He has sort of a moral programming. So he knew the difference between right and wrong. Yeah, and on one of the planets that he was stationed on, I guess, it's hard to talk about them without trying to put them in sort of like human tones, but he was stationed on a planet that the Empire had was occupying, and they were actually oppressing the population of that planet pretty aggressively, and basically he was working 24/7 nonstop on what was described as a never-ending parade of injured civilians.
Next.
It was, you know, when I think about it, I always think of like the Civil War, when they talk about those surgeons that basically all they do is just go down the line cutting limbs off. And that sort of sounds like what 2-1-B was doing. He was just basically going down the line patching up civilians, which is, to be honest, if he's patching up civilians, the Empire's actually seems to be a little compassionate if they're patching up the people that they injured.
Yeah. Well,
so they can throw them out there and injure them again?
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering about that too. Like they mentioned these other physicians that are humans, like doctors take a Hippocratic oath. Like to me, that would be a problem if it was a machine working on you, because if it was like, oh, he needs to lose that limb, they just like, they just cut it off.
Yeah, out comes the saw tool.
Yeah. It's like, I kind of think it's interesting taking that moral thing and putting it into a, not a, only a droid, but a droid that's going to be a doctor.
Yeah, it's a little strange because you got to think, okay, they're saying two things here. He's got a sense of morals and he's a droid that you can buy for 4,300 credits. So you're going to buy this droid and all of a sudden he's going to be like, yeah, I don't want to do that. And you know, I don't want to cut that dude's leg off. And so what? Now you're stuck with this droid who's like, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, because it seems like in Star Wars, especially, we talked about this on our last episode, something's always getting cut off. And most of what they do is prosthetics, I think. Yeah. That's talked about a lot in the backstory. They're very good at prosthetics. So maybe they're not averse to, this one's a little messed up, I can get you a brand new one of those and just zzz.
Yeah. Well, they're always, I guess they're trying to do what's best for the, what they feel is best for the,
feel
for
or
the patient.
Calculate what's best.
They calculate. It's a calculated decision, I guess, is what they do.
And who programs that actually, calculation? The Galactic Artificial Limb Association supplier?
It's all zeros and ones. But actually, and the 2-1-B, they're programmed very well that they can actually adapt quickly. They have a near human type mind when it comes to decision making. So that's one of the reasons why they're so prized. And this 2-1-B seemed to be a little more developed in that, especially with his moral programming. And while he was there on patching up these civilians and seeing the sort of things that the Empire, his employers, although I don't think he was pulling down a wage, technically his employers were doing to these people. They were doing this, and he was just under the impression, just came to the conclusion, this is wrong. I don't want to have to keep doing this. So he waited for his moment, I guess, when no one was looking. with those legs, which don't seem to have knees, he was able to run away.
Yeah. I wasn't even sure he had legs for the longest time, I think, until the figure came out.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little bit about the construction of the model in our behind the scenes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, he basically ran away and found his way to get into the service of the rebellion, so that he could, I guess, do better than what he was doing with the Empire. Which he was cleaning up their mess. Where, in this case, he would be assisting those that would put an end to the oppressors of the galaxy. So he was assisting, and we see him in Empire. He's patching up. We actually see him several points. We see him, I guess, doing an autopsy on a Tauntaun. We see him helping out Luke in the back to tank.
Yeah.
We see him at the end putting a hand on him. He shows up in Return of the Jedi on the Mon Calamari ship, the ship base. And you just sort of see him off in the background. I don't think he's actually working on anything. He's just sort of hanging out.
He's on break.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's. I'm taking a coffee break.
Now, and that's all the same 2-1-B?
That is all the same 2-1-B.
Dang. Well, they're pretty expensive. So, you just can't go out and buy a bunch of them.
Is there a 2-1-A? I didn't see that anywhere.
There should be. I mean,
well, one of the things I was reading on the backstory, not to hijack this, but that the 2-1-B was prized because it had an advanced processor or a heuristics processor or something. And I was thinking to myself, this reads like a Dell ad from the 90s touting math coprocessors and you know, for their desktop computers. And B, why do they need a model? Why wouldn't they all just be the best model? I mean, they can travel faster than speed of light. Why do they need like to have a dumbed down model for this? And I mean, why would they need a special, like Dave, you were talking about the Galactic Doctors, and they jazz these guys up a bit, but why couldn't they all be jazzed up?
Yeah. Why bother putting out an inferior one? I guess it's like any technology, like you want to keep making money. Like they're always going to advance your technology.
Damn iPhones.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I didn't remember that he was even in Return of the Jedi. I totally didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I didn't know. I did.
Isn't there one, I don't know which, where you see him like broken down in a trash heap or something? Isn't like when the movie.
No, I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
In Return of the Jedi in Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
You see a bunch of busted down droids, and I don't think there was a 2-1-B model in there. I have a feeling that Lucasfilm just looking to dress the setup with things that look Star Wars-y. I think they just wheeled the 2-1-B out there and put them there and put some lights on them is basically what I think they were doing.
Wasn't that one, you know, like how C-3PO and R2-D2 go into Jabba's dungeon and that EV-99 is like yelling at them and stuff. And
one's getting pulled apart?
They show the last translator. It's a 2-1-B.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought that was, that's, you know, I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
He's being destroyed. He's being, like, pulled apart. And, I mean, no wonder he was a lousy translator. He was a doctor.
I don't think that was a 2-1-B, though.
It wasn't?
I don't think it was.
I thought.
I have the scene right here. I'm going to look for it.
He's like.
It does resemble it, but I don't think it was one.
Damn it, that, I'm just a doctor.
That was 2-1-A, I think.
Yeah, that was a 1-0-A.
1-0-A.
Well, you talked about, you asked that same question about R2-D2. It was like, was there an R2-D3 and R2-D4? Like, there must be.
Sir, it will take quite a while to evacuate the T-47.
Well, and even in that scene, and just the way he says that, like, if it's almost like he has a relationship with Luke. Like, he's so congenial. Like, he has a bedside manner.
He does.
Like a doctor would have. And that's good. You know, like these other droids, maybe that takes away from the thing about the limb cutting off. Like, he's got emotions. Like, that's, I'm always confused about these droids on whether they're feeling things or programmed to feel things or whatever, but you know, he has like a nice little moment with Luke. And
he does.
Luke talks to him like he's his buddy.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that he knows how long it would take to evacuate. You know, you'd think if he's a medical droid that his the limit of his knowledge would be medical and not, you know, the time that it takes to evacuate for military, you know, maneuvers and things of that sort.
Yeah.
No, interesting.
I always thought until this time I learned stuff that I mean, it's not important stuff.
That's for damn sure.
That's right. In watching this, for this episode, I always thought it was 2-1-B that sticks that little plug on the back of the tank.
Yeah, who's it?
It's FX-7.
FX-7.
Yeah. Ugh, it ruins my whole vision of the movie now.
Why does 2-1-B need help from FX-7 if he's so darn smart?
That's a good question.
I mean,
FX-7's got 7 extra limbs.
FX-7 is the nurse helping the doctor.
Yeah. Why don't they get another 2-1-B?
Yeah. They can afford it.
Well, there in Revenge of the Sith, it took 2 2-1-Bs to make the famous version of Darth Vader as we know after Anakin was burned. I think there's 2 2-1-Bs.
The ones that get crushed at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of different other medical droids there too that to me, no names. I mean, there ended up being a lot of medical droids by the time all 6 of these movies.
Doctor.
In terms of the character, that's all I got. Some behind the scenes stuff. I know on the Clone Wars, they make great use of the 2-1-B model that they've made because he shows up in as a chef. He shows up in all sorts of different roles. Yeah.
Stir whip, stir whip, 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 stir beat.
there was one, and I think it was the guy who's the main guy on Ace of Cakes does the voice of a baker.
Oh, come on.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No.
Oh,
no.
God.
I kid you not. But they do.
Could
they
you
show,
be kidding me, please? Voice. Lie to me. I don't care. I won't watch and find out.
It's only medical. He's operating on that cake.
Okay, then. He's cutting it. I can only accept that.
Now, if you went to the Star Wars exhibit where science meets imagination, they actually had the 2-1-B, the original 2-1-B model on display there. And, I, you know, when I see the movie, it doesn't really creep me out. And Dave mentioned the Hugo automaton.
Automaton.
But when you see this automaton... when you see this model and you're face to face with it,
Andy Maton?
there's something a little off-putting about the head design.
I was always creeped the hell out by them.
Really? I love those things.
Yeah.
I always found it so ghostly. Like,
yeah.
I was always scared of this
figure. Skeleton kind of skull kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, with the sunken cheeks and the sunken eyes.
Mm-hmm. It's just blank. It just has this blank stare, and it was about maybe a tiny bit shorter than I was on display. And you know, you're standing there, and I it was sort of a stare, like the like every time you walked away, you turn around, and he would look like he's staring at you. It was very creepy.
He didn't get any farther away. The more I moved, he was still the same distance.
I could tell. I always felt that way.
It's like the Mona Lisa. No matter where you're standing in the room, she's always looking at you. It's the same thing with that model.
It's like the Mona Lisa.
The shit out of
it. Yeah. I totally see that. Like, especially, you know, and you guys know, and I have the figure right in front of me, the old Kenner figure.
I love that figure.
What did you always do with it? What am I doing right now with it?
Took the little face mask thing off.
That's right. You take out the little old-fashioned Elvis microphone.
Yeah.
And now he's got this gaping maw.
Yeah.
Along with the sunken eyes and cheekbones. How scary is that, Chris?
That's a little bit creepy.
This is frightening to a child.
Yeah, it's not.
I love that figure.
Sure.
I love that figure, man.
Scream or something.
I love it, but it's frightening.
I used to just sit there and just inspect the hell out of it with that clear body. It was the only figure with a clear body part.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of, for those Kenner figures, it had a shitload of detail on the arms and the leg. Oh, I used to sit there and just stare at that thing for hours, it felt like.
And it was blue.
If I didn't know who he was, I would assume that he was a bad guy.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's an awesome look, but it
kind of is, isn't he, if he originally worked for the Empire?
That's true.
Yeah. Chris, is your son nearby? Does he know who 2-1-B is?
I don't think he does.
If you hold up that figure, ask him good guy or bad guy. See what he says.
Okay. Hey, let's do a little experiment.
Social experiment.
This is a Star Wars in character first.
Luke,
get in close on your daddy's mic.
Everybody, come to the microphone. Is this guy in my hand a good guy or a bad guy?
Quickly now.
I have this.
You do have. Which is a good guy or a bad guy?
He's already put more time into this than anyone on this show.
He was like with Darth Vader when he was Darth Vader and Darth Vader killed it.
You're right. Ah. You said the scene from the end of Sith. You're right, buddy. Is it good guy or bad guy then?
Good guy?
Not during that scene, though. Yeah, right.
Okay.
You did good. You said
yeah.
He remembers probably Sith more than he remembers Empire.
Yeah.
You know?
No, he totally nailed it.
All right.
But it is a real stunning look. Like and when I was a kid, and like Matt said, it was an awesome figure. That clear midriff, you know, that belly shirt that he's wearing, that was different. And that mouth popped off, and that
Dave, hold on.
Easy, yeah. Dave.
Midriff and mouth popping.
Yeah, like come on.
Yeah,
creeping me out.
Plus, he is, and Doug's right. Like the color, like he's like this light blue. He's really the color of like a Dr. Scrubs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So this color, instantly, when I see a color like this, I instantly think medicine.
Doctor. Oh, we're 8 years old.
Yeah, the awesome look. I'm jealous of Tim. I would love to see the real one. And I'd probably
it will take quite a while to evacuate the T-47.
Go screaming out of that room when I saw the sucker.
Yeah, it was
and take off that face mask.
Yeah,
it was
take off the Elvis microphone.
Now, 2-1-B has a pretty cool history, like with the Star Wars Insider. You know, they currently have this little column. It's sort of like an Ask a Lobot column.
Yeah.
Where you write a letter in asking a specific question about something in Star Wars and Lobot answers. It used to be kind of like an Ask 2-1-B column prior to that. Mm. So maybe the science of Star Wars and 2-1-B would answer your letter that way.
Didn't he, Dave, have like a stick or a white?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, white stick. I don't know what that was.
It's a probe.
Ooh.
Okay, so right.
Probe, mount, and what was the other thing you said?
Take the mouth off.
Yeah, all right, take the mouth off. There's all kinds. Dave, you need to tell us something.
I do. I often wonder, I was disappointed that I couldn't find. I want to know what this thing on his chest is, because it looks like either a sheriff's badge or the thing that's keeping the shrapnel out of his heart.
Using the Federation.
Yeah, like I don't know what that thing is, and it's cool. Like it just looks like a Tony Stark arc reactor or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I didn't find anything about it. I did find out, however, what Bacta is.
Ooh, what is that?
Bacta is a synthetic chemical substance that is gelatinous. and it's known throughout the galaxy as Miracle Fluid. And
KY Jet.
It's good for rapid tissue regeneration. It's like the best medicine available anywhere, except when the Empire tried to like weaponize it, you know. So it became a bad thing at one point. But I was glad to find out what Bacta was, because I didn't know what Luke was in there in his underwear when he was taking a dip. it's like KY jelly.
He was right.
Actually, that sort of sounds kind of fun, to take a dip into a big tub of jelly.
Ooh.
I think I'd like to do that. I wonder if it was like warm.
I think Tim and Dave have to say something.
They do that right after a furry convention.
Yeah.
I just thought that figure was awesome, like Matt said. And once, if you got that and FX7, well, I was always afraid I would break off those little white arms when I opened them up. But if you got those two figures when you were little, now when you play, everyone is getting hurt.
That's right.
Just so they get treated. Like, yep. It's like somebody's like, I'm wounded. You have 2-1-B come over, stick his hands, and he just touches them like with his hooked hands.
Yeah.
Like the guy was fine. Basically, he was Jesus Christ. He could hit with a
2-1 Christ.
I'd like to see I'd like to see some kind of statistics on the kids who played with the 2-1-B and FX7 figures versus, like, you know, maybe some Ugnaughts or something, and who went to medical school and who, you know, worked for the sanitation department.
And we're going to be seeing pretty soon on our Photoshop 2-1-B wearing Jesus Christ robe and beard.
That might be a little pushing it. No, but everybody got hurt then.
Like, Jesus.
And then he comes over and
J1C.
He sticks his hands out and you go like this. He's back in
battle. What are you doing over there, Dave?
It's like, what do you mean, what am I doing?
WW21B do.
I know on the Battlefront game, they had an FX7 that you would stand next to and it would heal you. They didn't have a 2-1-B on
it. Oh, yeah. I remember that, Tim.
Yeah.
The R5-D4 gave you like supplies or something.
And
the FX7 would heal you.
Fix your health, yeah.
We'll probably do an episode on him. That was a cool figure.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
We don't go too much into that. But yeah, you always, when you played, you had them like side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were, you know, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Like they were always together.
Hey, Dean. Hey,
FX7.
The guy who does the voice for 2-1-B, I don't know if he's listed. I don't think he's credited in the credits for Empire. And I'm almost certain I have this guy's autograph somewhere in my collection. A guy by the name of Denny Delk.
Cool name.
He's a pretty well established voice actor with commercials and video games. He's done a lot of stuff for Lucasfilm.
What happened?
They took off the mouthpiece off of 2-1-B. Oh, no. And he has his Laxus Sevrak figure coming over, and the open mouth is going somewhere where the wolf can't, you know.
So it's like that question someone asked, you said, Chris, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did ask that.
Did someone lick him? Never mind.
Now they're kissing, open mouth kissing.
You're making all this
put
up.
That
But Denny Delk, famously for Star Wars fans, he was also the voice of Wicket on the Ewoks cartoon.
Oh, good.
So yeah, he very two very different voices
now,
but yeah, okay. He was the voice of Wicket.
Oh, now they're slow dancing,
sir. I'll evacuate the T-47.
Please don't touch me there, sir.
And that's all. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
I don't know if Dave has anything more.
No, I just I watch the scenes, and it is a great look, and that whole Luke putting Luke's hand on with these, like, you know, touching his fingers, to see, and you can see the wrist action movement.
That was always cool.
That is neat. Yep.
That had to be like cutting edge back then, and it still looks great. It's so cool. I remember sitting there just like being mind screwed on that as a little kid. Like, wow, just like that was like one of the coolest things I ever saw when I was 7 years old.
I always thought the best image of 2-1-B was the necropsy with the Tauntaun photo, where he's kind of like doing like poking around at it, and it's sort of it's sort of shot from below, and it's like real dramatic lighting.
Yeah,
and I think I had a card of that, like from the second series card,
right?
Of that, and I always thought that was one of the best cards I had, and maybe the best shot of 2-1-B that you see.
It is cool. Chris has it right here. Yeah. He's got it. It's why is he doing it, first of all? But I guess maybe they had to learn how to keep them alive.
You sort of see that a little in the movie. You see it from behind. You see him sort of, you see a Tauntaun. You see 2 and B sitting in front of the Tauntaun just for a split second, and then they pan away. But yeah, it's in there. You just don't see that particular view of
There was a really neat, I think it was in the first series of Star Wars Galaxy cards, first or second series, of, and it was an artist representation of a 2-1-B examining or looking at Luke's severed hand in a jar of fluid.
Yeah,
it was a really neat, but again, also very creepy image of this blank face just looking at a severed hand floating in a jar.
How would they get his severed hand?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah,
I think
I don't know. That's a much. Yeah, that was
Star Wars has just fallen apart for me. Yep.
There's no way that card could ever have happened.
So you never listened to the show before, is what you're saying? You know, Dave, it's taken this long for me to actually get this up and running here, but I don't know now about that. That may be 2-1-B in Jabba's scene. I'm watching it now. It's hard to tell. It looks like him without the Elvis microphone mouth.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at it too, and it looks a lot like him.
I think it may be. I take it back. I think you're right.
I just wonder, like, if that. I feel bad for that 2-1-B. I don't think it was the 2-1-B, but right. I feel bad for him if he couldn't translate. Like, that's not his programming.
And his face.
I wasn't trained to do this.
Yeah.
I can give me a vasectomy. Come on.
I cut your arm off.
Oh.
Huh. Very cool. Very one of the coolest droids.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yep.
Is your website cool, Matt?
It kind of is. It's I think Tim mentioned it earlier. I was I saw that Science Meets Imagination, Star Wars Science Meets Imagination thing too. Actually in Philadelphia where most of you guys saw it too. I was up visiting a friend, so we went together to check it out. And I was just, you know, typing in the 2-1-B search on Google, and there's someone took some really good pictures, some really almost artistic like pictures, and made a Flickr album of them. So I'm going to use that because they took pictures of everything, but they got some really good shots. If you didn't get to see this is a good way to check it out, is what I'm trying to say. So I'll put, if you didn't get to see this exhibit, take a look at this Flickr album. This person took some really good pictures of it, and there's some good 2-1-B shots. And it is, with all this stuff in hindsight now, he is kind of creepy looking now you bring it up.
He will haunt your dreams.
He will.
Too late.
I think that tour is still going on in different somewhere. So if you happen to see, for our listeners, if you happen to see this, come into an area that you can get to, I highly recommend checking out. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
I'm about to send Matt and Tim a photo.
Uh-oh.
Stay tuned. All right. Is it time?
It is time.
Alrighty.
It's time for Imperial Pursuit.
Galactic Blast.
Galactic Blast.
As Doug just named it. All right. The scores stand like this. Chris, you have -8.
I know.
I know.
I know.
I have -3. And Tim and Matt are tied with 4. That is
possible. That's right.
So it's a good competition heating up. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the three of you, and then what's that, Tim?
I said it's anybody's game but Chris's.
Oh.
I think he's right.
That's harsh.
Well, I'm going to you had a surrogate before.
Yes.
And it worked out for
you. It worked out perfectly. So next time.
I'm going to have my own surrogate here in a few minutes, but let's get going with you.
All right.
Are you ready?
Give me 5 points. Yep, good.
You're betting 5?
I have to come back sooner or later.
This is we've only done a few episodes. This is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Get your head in the game.
I can't do either.
Okay. Your category is Anakin Skywalker.
All right, hold on for that.
So, I've done this with this figure back when I was like 12 as well.
Chris, what were you doing with my 2-1?
Nothing. All right, wait. Who'd you say?
Anakin Skywalker.
What did you say?
Did this be anybody? All right, Dave.
What are you betting? I mean, I'm not here to tell you how to play the game, but last time you let Matt talk you into 5 points.
Yeah,
well, yeah, so do 5 points again, Chris.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm doing 3.
Oh.
Come on.
All right. Here's your question.
You want those Daisy Dukus or don't you?
You know what? I'm doing five.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm doing five.
Why do you let people do this to you?
Because I'm going
to
lose either way. I lost either way.
It's so early.
Do it, man.
I was just trying to see how large of a negative number he can get on the end of this.
I'll do five.
Can I get the four digits?
You are unbelievable. Peer pressure. More.
Everybody's doing it. More.
Exactly.
All right. You actually have multiple choice on this one. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Ken Anakin, a film director and friend of George Lucas, provided the name for Anakin Skywalker. In Sanskrit, the word Anakin means what?
5 points less than the whole.
Penis. Does it mean A, warrior, B, bravery, C, honor, or D, rebellious? In Sanskrit, what does the word Anakin mean?
E crispy.
Can you hear me again?
A, warrior.
No.
B, bravery.
No.
C, honor.
No.
Or D, rebellious.
Yes.
I'm saying D.
You're going with D, rebellious.
Yeah.
What did you bet?
I think five, I think.
Okay. What's the lowest you've been? Negative 10?
No, negative 8.
Okay. Well, you're at negative 13 now, man.
Oh, man.
The answer was A, warrior.
Good God.
Man, why did you bet 5?
That was good.
You're a damn fool.
Ooh. That's my new thing. From this episode on, I am only betting 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's
fine with me. I mean,
I'm either going to crush you guys.
Yeah.
Or be super, super, super far behind.
I'm pretty worried about the first possibility.
All right. Tim.
Yes.
It's your turn. Your category is Darth Vader.
No. I am going to go 4.
Good work.
Okay. Here's your question.
All right.
In what scene did Darth Vader actually save Chewbacca's life?
Don't fail me again.
What scene did he actually save Chewbacca's life?
Yes.
In what scene did Darth Vader actually save Chewbacca's life?
That is correct.
I believe I'm trying to think. They only came in contact on Bespin.
What?
And I think it's when he agreed to let Lando keep him and I don't know about Leia, but I keep him on Bespin. I'm not exactly sure how that would be worded, but it has to do something with he would be left in the care or the occupation of Lando.
What?
Is that your final answer?
That's as final as I'm going to get.
Okay. I see where you're going with it, and it's not a bad thought, but this is something much more literal than that.
Hmm. So is he wrong?
He is wrong.
You went to church together?
In The Empire Strikes Back,
okay,
Boba Fett aims his rifle at Chewbacca in the carbon freezing chamber, and Vader pushes it away.
That is
yes. That's it's when
yes, it's when he pushes the gun away. We know.
That's it.
Oh man, that's a really great question. I'm sad I got it wrong, but that's an awesome question.
No, he's back at he's back at 0.
You stuck Tim 0. At least I have a number.
At least you have a number. That's one way to look at it. Matt, are you ready?
I am ready.
Your question is coming from the category The Jedi Order.
Oh, God. 2.
2.
Okay. In A New Hope, what did Obi-Wan call Luke's first positive experiences with the Force? And this is a quote.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Hello there.
Is that your final answer?
That's the final answer.
That is correct, my friend.
All right.
Move along.
He took his, quote, first steps into a larger world. I'm taking that. And you are at six.
Move along.
Six.
All right.
I don't care about Matt's score at all.
You don't care? Aww. You're going to pout?
The stupid score.
Sit over here in the corner with 2-1-B.
Guys are jerks.
All right. Now, normally it would be my turn, but I am also in the hole and obviously know nothing about Star Wars. So I'm going to get my phone a friend going here, and Doug is going to take my spot. So, Doug, you do what you want. Jeez.
Yes. I think I heard minutes. Him say 15.
No.
Oh, okay.
Only can go to
15?
No. Five is the max. Five, all right. Then. So Doug's batting five. He doesn't even know the category.
I don't need to know.
Oh. I love this guy.
All right.
Special effects.
Are you going to at least tell him the category?
Well, I hear it. This is your.
Why does Chris need to read it? Can't you read it, Dave?
I could read
it. Yeah,
he
could. Because
you
it's...
have the book.
All right, I got it.
I like to hear your voice.
It's really throwing me off when Chris reads.
Right. Here is your category.
Yes, I know.
The Emperor. That was...
Okay.
All right. In the final throne room scene in Return of the Jedi, what did the Emperor say Luke had paid the price for?
Ooh. Hang on while I Google this. And we don't get any what you call multiple choice for this.
Oh, right? No.
Just that one Chris had was the only one.
All right, I'm thinking about this one.
Okay.
You paid the price for your lack of vision.
Ooh. I didn't hit a soundboard clip.
Is Ian McDermott joining us?
Yeah, really?
Dermot Moroney. He was the emperor? It's crazy.
Well,
that's my final answer.
Final answer.
Yes.
His lack of vision.
Whoa.
Nice. Done.
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 Woo. You know what that means?
What do you got?
That means positive numbers, baby.
What do you got?
I'm at plus two.
Nice.
And in second place, Doug.
Yeah.
I owe you. That's one I owe you, Junior.
You owe me nothing.
That was nice.
We need Doug and Mark to do their own podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me introduce you to Mark. And you guys can just do better than we do anyway.
It's called shit those four other guys don't know.
That was very nicely done, Doug. Thank you very much.
He didn't take any time. He just bam, here's the answer.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
I watched it a lot.
I watched it a lot. More than we do.
Well, thank him. Thank Doug, Dave, for being on with us.
Yes, Doug, thank you for coming on.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was great to have you. And like I said before, go on our Facebook page. You know what's funny is Doug's putting all this stuff on our Facebook page. He's not even on Facebook.
No.
For real?
No.
No, I don't like Facebook. You know why? Because I want to be able to do this stuff sort of posthumously. You know, after I've my persona has died and you know, people will remember me this way.
Dave,
nice.
Dave said that you hated playing Farmville a lot, so you got.
I did. I actually lost several jobs that way.
A lot of crops.
but I had so many crops.
Animals died.
Yeah. No. It's you know, I like technology, but I don't like it that much, so I just stay away from it. But I will keep them coming if you keep me supplied with ideas. So.
Well, Chris will.
Yeah.
Did you do short? I want
as long as there's words in the English language.
I want to see 2-1 Jesus. Jesus.
2-1 Jesus.
Bejesus.
Zynga.
Oh, yeah.
2-1 Jeebus.
Thank you guys for listening to our Star Wars Character discussion about 2-1B. Next time we discuss Jocasta Nu.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox, Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in character episodes and information.